Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Be sure to take note of all the announcements at the back of the bulletin, see what's happening. And you have an announcement?
Good morning. On the 25th of October, the youth will be sponsoring a trip to the J. Welch Farms corn maze. So bring your families, meet us out there, and we'll have a great time. Second, I had to reschedule our youth work day for the 26th of this month, which is a Sunday. So we have potluck that Sunday. So after potluck, meet me in the basement and we can go to work. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lori. Other announcements? Anybody else? If not, then we begin with our brief order for confession and forgiveness. Please rise. We begin this service in the remembrance of our baptism, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our opening hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Generously pardon and give peace to your faithful people, that being cleansed from every sin, we may be free and glad to serve, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated.
The first lesson is a reading from Habakkuk, chapter 1. I begin at verse 1. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear, or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up.
it is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. The word of the Lord. We'll now read Psalm 62 responsively. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him, like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God.
And that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his works.
The second reading is a reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1. I begin at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what our duty.'" The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The disciples said to Jesus, "Increase our faith." And that's a noble gesture on their part, but I kind of wonder, what's their motivation for that? Do they? It's a wonderful prayer to have. Increase our faith, to be stronger in the faith that we have. But I just wonder about the disciples here, because we know the story of the disciples and some of the things that they've gone through. You know, they've been walking around with Jesus, traveling from place to place. They see what Jesus is able to do with such strong faith, the healings, the miracles, the walking on the water, the calming of the sea, all those things that Jesus had been doing. And they thought, well, if Jesus increases our faith, we can do those things too. And they see Jesus with all these followers, with all this, everybody wanting to be around him, that popularity that Jesus was gaining. And maybe they think, well, we can have that too if our faith is increased. So they say to Jesus, "Increase our faith." Now, I'm not sure if that's truly the motivation of them, but it is a good prayer to have. Increase our faith. You know, it's the disciples are looking maybe for bigger and better, and that just plays along with society or who we are just as people. That we always want bigger and better. If you want a bigger house, well, you build a bigger house, then you have a bigger heating bill and a cooling bill. You also have more stuff to clean. You get a bigger car. It probably has more bells and whistles. That just means more things to go wrong with the car, and then you won't get the good gas mileage you did with the smaller car. You have more money. Well, then you have people pestering you all the time for something. Or you worry about scams more often. Or you have more responsibility of what to do with it and how to invest it and all these other questions that go along with it. Bigger and better is not always better. It's not always helpful. But the disciples say, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And that is a good thing, to have your faith increased. But Jesus then doesn't say, "Yes, I'll do that. You'll be great disciples if I increase your faith in you." Rather, he says, all you need is a little bitty piece. All you need is a little bitty faith to start out with, the size of a mustard tree, because it can grow. And it will grow. And it becomes very powerful. It becomes very helpful. It becomes what God intends you to be. And so, yes, we do want our faith to increase. We want to be stronger in our faith. We want to know more about God. We want to gain knowledge. We want to gain wisdom. We want to be better Christians. And so what does that take? It does take listening to the Holy Spirit, for that guiding of the Holy Spirit to be attuned to the gifts that you have been given by the Holy Spirit. But then the question becomes, what do we do with those gifts? Being a Christian is full-time service. Being a Christian means that we give it our all, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It's not like we're on a clock that, you know, we do come to church, maybe Sunday school, throw a little bit in the offering plate, and we've done for the week, right? We're here. No, it's every day. Every day we are Christians. It's not like the doctor who's in the midst of an operation, the surgeon's there operating, he looks at his watch and says, oops, it's 5 o'clock, it's quitting time, it's Miller time, I'm out of here. We don't do that. Many of the jobs that we do because that's who we are and we get the job done. Jesus tells this other parable as well here in our gospel reading this morning about the servant. The servant's out there working in the field all day, and then he's got to come in at the end of the day. He's got to fix supper. He's got to get all cleaned up and change clothes so that he's in proper dinner attire. And then he serves his master. He's there and he waits until his master finishes eating. Then he has to clean up. And then that servant is able to sit down and finally have his supper. And if there's any time left after that, then he can relax or probably just go straight to bed because it's all going to start all over once again. And the whole thing of it is, he's not even told thank you for what he's done. But that's simply what a servant does. That's simply his job. That's who he is, and so he takes care of it. That's the job that he does. We think, we watch news stories or different things, and a disaster happens, and say a fire is burning in a building, and so a fireman rushes into the building, and he saves several people, and he comes out, and later on, then he's being interviewed, and they said, "You're a hero," and the fireman says, "No, I'm not a hero. That's simply what I signed up to do. That's who I am. That's my job, is to put my own life at risk to go in and help save people." It's just simply who he is. Or think about Jesus himself. Jesus didn't stop short. He gave it everything he had. He didn't get to the Garden of Gethsemane and say, "Well, the soldiers are coming pretty quick. It's about time to hide." When he was arrested, he didn't fight. When he was put on trial, he didn't defend himself. He had a mission to do. God had sent him into this world to bring salvation. God had set this plan in motion, and Jesus was following the plan. He didn't back out. When he was condemned to death and carrying his cross down the streets, he didn't just drop the cross and squeeze through the crowd and got away. No, he went through it. He followed it all the way through. He went to the cross for our salvation, and he rose from the dead to bring us new life. I know many of us also have professions or do things that we make sure that it has to get done before we're done. Like I said, the surgeon has to continue on until he is finished, until he knows that a patient has a good chance of recovery. The fireman does what they need to do. Policeman does the same thing. Farmers and ranchers also have to work odd hours or they finish long days to make sure that it's done. I worked on farms and ranches when I was younger and did a lot of hay hauling. And I remember one time that the storm was predicted to come in later that evening, and we had hay on the field. And so the baler got busy and started chunking out bales, and we got the tractor and the trailer and started picking up bales right after the baler put them down. And we could look off in the distance and see the tops of the clouds, And then later on, the clouds were getting closer, and then it started to get dark, and you could see the lightning flashes starting to light up the sky. And as we watched, those clouds kept on getting closer and closer, and it was very ominous. And I think it was about 10 o'clock that evening then that we picked up the final bell. And then as soon as we got the trailer into the barn, the rain started coming down. You do what you have to do to get it done. And that's what Jesus calls us to do. As Christians, that is exactly what we are called to do, is to do until we get it done. God gives us commissions. He gives us missions to go and proclaim the gospel. And that's in any way, form that we can, to teach, to baptize, to be there for other people, to help heal people, to comfort people, to help the needy, to visit the lonely. We're there as Christians to work. And we're not on a clock because we are Christians 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's in our nature. It's just simply who we are. We are Christians. And the thing is that there is joy in doing that ministry. There is a sense of fulfillment as our faith increases. I think about that story of the Good Samaritan. That, a man was beaten and robbed and left on the highway to die. And then the priest and the Levite came by and they saw him and they just passed by on the other side. Did the priest and the Levite do anything to hurt that man who was beaten and robbed? They didn't beat him. They didn't rob him. In our confession this morning, we said, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done, but then by what we have left undone. The priest and the Levite left that opportunity slide by. They let that opportunity of helping somebody be lost, and it was undone. It was left undone. But it was the Samaritan who came by, picked him up, cleaned his wounds, put him on his animal, and brought him back in the town, found him a place to stay, and made sure that that his wounds would be taken care of. We see opportunities. Many times we just walk on by. We don't take them. We don't take those opportunities. But those opportunities are there. They're there for us to do ministry. It's maybe somebody hurting. Maybe somebody needing a little bit of help. Maybe it's something going on here around the church that we need some help. We need some leadership. We need some direction. Or we just need extra hands. There's opportunities everywhere. Anywhere you look around, there's always opportunities to do some ministry. Even if it's just talking with somebody and sharing with them what your faith means to you in your life. And as you go through these things, as you take those opportunities, that's how your faith increases. You get stronger in your faith, and you learn of the joy that comes with doing ministry. And if you want to go a step even further, it's looking for new opportunities. Even if you don't see obvious opportunities, is to go out actually searching for new opportunities in order to do ministry. And that is truly then when your faith starts to increase, when you're actively seeking out ways to serve God. Not just being thrust into them, not just saying, well, maybe I ought to go help, but actually seeking out those places where you can help someone else and help bring in that kingdom of God. The disciples cried out, increase our faith. And that's a wonderful prayer to have. Increase our faith. Help us to help bring in this kingdom of God. Help us to follow Christ. Help us to see those gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us. Help us to exercise and to use those gifts. Increase our faith. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, O Word of God Incarnate.
Please rise for the confession of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. For the church, the world, and all people, let us pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for planting the mustard seed of faith in us. Please water it with your Holy Spirit. Make its roots delve deep into your holy word and sacraments. Cause that seed to blossom and come to fruition, nourishing a hungry world with your Son's forgiveness and love. Lord, in your mercy. Fill this congregation with your Holy Spirit. Let us never seem ashamed of Christ, but instead share his holy and forgiving love with everyone we encounter. Lord, in your mercy. Give all missionaries strength to do their master's work faithfully and well until he comes in glory. Shield and strengthen our sisters and brothers who are persecuted on account of Jesus. Give them grace and courage to speak and live your word boldly and truthfully. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that the leaders of all nations, especially our own, acknowledge you as their Lord and Master. Let them faithfully and diligently do the work entrusted to them, knowing they must give to you an account of their actions. Help them to strive for justice, tempered with mercy, and for peace and righteousness. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate God, you desire wholeness and health for all your children, yet our lives are filled with illness, pain, and anxiety. Grant your healing touch to all who suffer. Use us to comfort and support all in need. We pray particularly for Lynn Magura, Nick Picard, Elaine Molina, Carlton Bolting, Terry Hafling, Rosa Harton, Joe Barnes, B. McNabb, Jeanette Lemke, Jordan Peterson, Gwen Strotman, and the families of Kendall Sandage and Alberta Joyce Meyer, and also the Wolf family. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for fulfilling all your promises to those who have died trusting in you. Be the rock and salvation of all whose grief runs deep. Give them courage and hope. Make us gentle and tender-hearted with one another. Help us to forgive when the other sins and to repent when we are wrong. When one stumbles, help the rest of us to support, guide, and encourage. Lead us safely through the evils and sorrows of this earthly life. Bring us into your kingdom and into eternal fellowship with you and those whom you have redeemed through the merits of your beloved Son. Lord, in your mercy. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we entrust our prayers and petitions into your hands, gracious Father, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering of our lives.
Nourish us
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty, and our joy, that we should at all times and places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come, for all is ready. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And as we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.